Have you ever met someone, got to know them a bit, thought you knew who they were, and then been pleasantly surprised to find out that they were really a bit more than you'd initially thought? A couple of stories in this vein. My mother grew up in Leongatha in Gippsland. It's a rural town surrounded by dairy and beef farming. My grandfather was a plumber. He was mostly served the farmers, so behind the house there was a workshop and a yard that were often filled with big corrugated iron water tanks, water troughs, other things, metal creations that were made for the farmers. It was a great place to visit when we were growing up. My father employed a number of men to work on building these things and installing them. He once had an itinerant labour turn up looking for work. This was an Englishman who was travelling around from town to town and supporting himself just with manual labour. Well, my grandfather was able to give him some work. He also invited him to church on Sunday. So when Sunday came, the family headed to church as usual. The man came along. Now, he wasn't scruffy, but he didn't have Sunday best to wear. Didn't look very impressive, just an ordinary working man. And then they sang the first hymn. Well, it turns out this man, when he was younger, had sung in the choir at St Paul's Cathedral in London. Now imagine for a minute the quality of voice that you would expect to sing in that choir. It was a bit of a surprise for the congregation there, one of those Susan Boyle moments when someone you didn't expect suddenly turns out with a magnificent voice. My second story is in a similar vein. A couple of years back, the BBC did a special with the singer Adele. Don't know if you saw it. There were some interviews, some live singing. And in the middle, there was a segment. They invited some Adele impersonators to audition to be part of this special. A group of them got together in a small theatre. They sat down. Well, they had a bit of a chat and got to know one another. Then they sat down, and one after another, they sang to see who would be the right person. What they didn't know was that one of the ladies was Adele herself. The makeup department had given her a false nose and a false chin. They were very good. You couldn't tell. The other ladies there just thought she was someone who looked vaguely like Adele, another impersonator like themselves. Until she got up to sing. She was the last singer, of course. You should have seen the looks on their faces as they suddenly realised that this wasn't just another good impersonator. This was Adele herself. They had the real thing. She was there with them. And I can tell you, no one was upset about being tricked. They had a great time. So why am I talking about these surprises? Well, when we look at Jesus and what he did, the people were expecting someone special to turn up. They were expecting a Messiah who would come and be king. But Jesus was a bit more. Back in 2016, we did another series from John's Gospel, The Seven Signs. And as a plug, they're on the church website. If you haven't listened to them, grab them and have a listen. They really help fill out what we've been doing on John's Gospel this year. But I had to preach one of the sermons, so I sat down and read through each of the seven stories. They're all familiar, but it was really good just to sit down, read them afresh, and have a look at them. And the thing that stood out to me before very long was that these seven signs were not the seven signs, or were not things that I would have expected from one of the prophets. They're actually a step above that. They're actually signs that God was there walking amongst his people. Jesus was God in person visiting his people. Pretty amazing thing. And so the passage today is pointing to who Jesus really is. He feeds 5,000 people, then he walks on the water to go out and meet his disciples. But it's more than just a sign to show who he is. The rest of chapter 6, he's going to be teaching his disciples about who he is and how to live with him. So the next few weeks, make sure you're here. We've got some really good sermons coming on that teaching. Now, for the crowd that was present when he fed the 5,000, he wasn't who they were expecting. And unlike the Adele impersonators, they didn't recognise him for who he really was. Their response to the miracle shows they didn't understand his sign to them and what he was here to do. Quick show of hands, anyone who doesn't know the story of the feeding of the 5,000? Yeah, that's what I thought. It's a familiar story, but it's really good to get back and look at it afresh. So let's see what happened. Jesus has been travelling around Galilee. He's been teaching and healing, and he's performed some pretty impressive signs. On this day, he heads out to the countryside, up on the top of a hill or a mountain, and he sits down to teach his disciples. Now, some people have recognised him, so there's a crowd that's followed. We're told in the end it was about 5,000 men. Now, that's how they counted, how many men were present. We don't know about women and children, so quite frankly, it could have been up to 10,000 people there. A big crowd. Now, here's a question for you. Imagine being Philip. Jesus poses a test question for him. Where should we buy bread for these people to eat? 5,000, maybe 10. Huge crowd. Now, Philip was one of his first disciples. He'd been there when Jesus turned water into wine. He's seen some spectacular miracles. He should know that Jesus is capable of doing something quite amazing. But instead, what he comes back with is an entirely worldly answer. He looks at the crowd and he says, it would take 200 days' wages. 6-day working week, that's 33.5 weeks, over half a year, just to buy enough bread to feed them so that they could each have something to eat. And they certainly didn't have that much money in their funds. And of course, the other question, where on earth would you find that much bread in the countryside? Andrew, on the other hand, does something a bit strange. He too's been there since the beginning, and he brings forward a small boy who's brought his lunch with him. Now, we don't really know what Andrew was thinking. One boy's lunch, 5,000 people, perhaps a crumb each. Now, the question here is, have you ever felt woefully inadequate for the task at hand? Have you ever thought you didn't have the resources you needed? And what you did have to offer was just so small as to be insignificant. That's really where Philip and Andrew find themselves. The thing is, Philip saw the material side of things and doubted. Andrew stepped out in faith, no matter how small what he had to offer was. And we get to see a miracle happen. I think one of the lessons that we really should learn from this passage is that Jesus wants us to offer what we have, however little it might seem. But it's actually him who's responsible for providing what we need to work out his plan. I think we often limit ourselves by only seeking to achieve what we think our own resources are capable of, instead of seeking his resources, his scale of provision for his plan. So what happens? We have a small boy. He's been to McDonald's, bought his lunch, 2 fillet of fish in a bag. That's how much it was. 2 fillet of fish, or the equivalent from those days. And yet what happened? Everyone ate as much as they wanted. It wasn't just that they got a bit, but they ate till they were full. They had enough, and then there were 12 baskets left over. 12 basketfuls in excess. Think the maths for a minute. 2 fillet of fish become something like 10,000 or 15,000. Is there anyone here who can comprehend what Jesus did? Because I can't. This is amazing provision. And so what's Jesus trying to show here? If we go back to Jesus' question to Philip, he asked him, where should we find bread? And then we read this. He asked this only to test him for what he already had in mind, what he was going to do. Jesus has a plan. Now, he wasn't planning to just do something spectacular to impress everyone. And it wasn't just to meet the physical needs of the people. There are two things Jesus wants to do. The first is, as I said before, he's trying to show who he is. This is God in person, incarnate, walking the earth amongst his people. But the second thing, he's about to teach his disciples about he being the bread of life. And this miracle is a living demonstration of that concept. Jesus is here to provide for us spiritually throughout our walk with him. And so over the next couple of weeks, when we're looking about this teaching on the bread of life, please remember how Jesus acted in this miracle, how generously he provided, giving in abundance, because that's how he feeds into our lives. The people's response is interesting. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now we know the people were expecting a Messiah, a king who would come, overthrow the Romans, set up God's kingdom, just like his ancestor David, and he will rule the nations in peace and justice. The Micah passage we heard earlier alludes to that. It was one of the prophecies for what would happen when God's kingdom came. But the people were talking about a prophet who is to come. And so the question begs here, is he the same as the Messiah, as might be suggested here? We heard about him back in chapter 1 of John's Gospel. When John the Baptist came preaching, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites out to ask who he was. Well, John started by saying, "I'm not the Messiah." They asked, "Who are you then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "No, I'm not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So that comes up. And for the Jewish leaders, it seems that the Messiah and the prophet are two different people. Back in Deuteronomy 18, God said to Moses, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him." So right back in the days of Moses, God's prophesied there'll be another prophet like Moses. God will teach him and he will teach the people, just like Moses had done when he brought the law to them. Now, the Jewish authorities seem to treat Messiah and the prophet as separate. The people here, Jesus is inferring that if they think he's the prophet, they also think he's the Messiah. Interestingly, when I look at other references to this, the Samaritan woman at the well, we know that story. Jesus met her, talked to her, ended up having a great witness into that community in Samaria. But as he was talking with the woman, at one point she says, "I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus responded, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." It's actually one of the few occasions where Jesus actually acknowledged being the Messiah. But it's important to note that this Samaritan woman has combined the prophet who is to come and the Messiah. So regardless of what the Jewish leaders thought, at least amongst some of the people, they would have had both the prophet and the Messiah being the same. What's important for us to understand, though, is that both of these, the people are expecting a man selected by God, made into someone special, whether it was a king or a prophet or both. But what we have in Jesus is different. Who we have in Jesus is God becoming man and coming to live amongst us. We see this both in John's Gospel and Paul talking about in Philippians 2. You probably know this one. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And a bit further down, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus is God's Son who was with him in the beginning and has come to be with us. And as Paul said, "Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So, two pictures of Jesus, God becoming incarnate and living amongst us. The people have recognised that Jesus is like Moses. He's performed signs and wonders, and now he's provided bread to feed them, just as Moses provided manna for the people in the desert. Except that Moses didn't actually provide manna, it was God who provided it. And it's Jesus here who, through his own actions, is providing the food for them to eat on this day. But they didn't know his plan, they didn't know what he was there for, and they didn't really recognise who he was. A bit later on, after the trip in the boat, some more people found him, or they found him again. Jesus' response to them was interesting. "Very truly I tell you, you were looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." They've been the recipient of a great miracle. But it's just the physical actions, the eating the bread, that's motivating them to find him again. They haven't really seen and understood the signs that he's performing. This morning in the kids' talk, we heard from John 14. You probably know this verse too. The disciples ask, "Where is Jesus going?" And he answered, "I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Now that statement, "Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, is the only way to the Father," many people would say that's a pretty arrogant statement. Jesus is the only one who will get you there. And if Jesus was just a man, that would be true. But if Jesus truly is God, then it's not arrogant, because he's God come in person to meet with us. And through him we get to know the Father. He's come to walk with us, to guide us and to provide for us in our walk with him. The people saw a sign. They didn't understand what it meant. It's vitally important that we don't make the same mistake. We need to recognise who Jesus truly is. And even more important, we need to know how to live in relationship with him. So please make sure you're here for the next few weeks as Trev and others teach us on living with the bread of life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've sent Jesus to be with us. Thank you that he is the living bread, that he walks with us, that he feeds us, that he guides us. Help us tonight and over the next few weeks to grow, to gather a deeper understanding of what it means to walk our life with you. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak in each one's heart tonight. Help us to be encouraged in our walk, to know that you truly are with us, you truly are feeding us with spiritual food. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.